Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome an accomplished entrepreneur from Gurgaon, India, Mr. Kinnar N. Sachdev. Kinnar, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here and really appreciate you taking out the time to bring me on the show.
Thank you. Kinnar is the co-founder and chief executive officer of Nourish. He had invented an earthquake sensor, making one of the youngest patent holders in India. And he has been awarded the Business World's Young Entrepreneur 35 under 35 and Times 40 under 40. So Kinnar, before we talk about Nourish, tell me a little bit about your own journey in brief.
Sure. My journey could well be summed up in a few words. Mm-hmm. I've been an explorer, innovator, and an entrepreneur. Those three words define me. I kind of like to be around those domains. From an education standpoint, I studied biotechnology when I was kind of in my bachelor's and master's degree. I worked as a scientist, as a biotechnologist in drug discovery space before I figured that when I was working on those tiny organisms, looking for new antibiotics that they could produce, I was working on things that I couldn't see with my naked eyes. And I am someone who likes to build things. You know, I've been an innovator. Even before I joined my degrees, I had, like you mentioned, one of the patents. And that moment when I realized this, that I would like to create things, not just discover them, led me to think about starting my first company from UK. Mm. So that's where the journey of entrepreneurship began. And me and my co-founder were consulting for large brands in multiple technology companies and education brands from primarily Europe and Middle East, US. So long story short, while we were running that company, I traveled and worked with companies in around 30 countries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was kind of the journey. And we discovered that we just did not want to be consulting partners to large organizations. We would want to build a product that could make a difference in millions of people's of lives. Mm-hmm. And the idea of my current organization, Nourish, germinated from there. And, yes, you know, sir. We now have 1.2 million learners from across 50 countries on this platform company that I run. Closed. Yeah, but I'll talk more about it. But that's been like the journey to
absolutely. That's amazing.
Give a snapshot.
So let's talk about Nourish then. And the words that are used to define Nourish are everything you need to build, launch, and sell courses, webinars, and memberships with funnels. So tell me a little bit about Nourish and what was your motivation to start it?
Nourish, the word means combination of knowledge and nourishment. When those two words come together, your head grows wings, mm-hmm. was the concept behind the logo. Mm-hmm. So it's like when you nurture your mind with constant knowledge and learning, structured learning, mm-hmm. you can become somebody else with superpowers. Mm-hmm. So that's the concept we wanted to follow with Nourish, because when we used to consult with people from around the world, I would meet corporates who would be fantastic in cooking or leadership. And they could bring out a huge difference in the lives of people if they had the chance to teach those skills. Mm. But the technology, or let's say the ability for them to be able to build those side hustles or main businesses was very limited at that point of time. Mm. So that's where the idea germinated. How about this chef in Paris that I was meeting, over a weekend could get the ability to teach people around the world and not just like an academic skill, but the real ability to open a bakery, to start a food business, or a leader from a Fortune 500 company being able to talk to a student without traveling to that part of the world. And that's what knowledge nourishment meant. So that's where the idea of Nourish germinated. And we started building the company while we were consulting for all those brands around the world. Mm. Now the vision has actually transformed and evolved to make anyone being able to convert their content, and it could be their knowledge, their expertise, into money. Mm. And our clients now include not just these individuals who are these culinary experts, yoga trainers, to leadership coaches, to dance teachers. It's also companies like Bombay Stock Exchange, you know, Grohe, American Standard, tons of organizations that also do the same thing. Turn content or knowledge into monetization. And while that happens, a lot of impact is created.
Fascinating. And as an entrepreneur, since you said you started Nourish while you were still consulting, what have been some of your early challenges while establishing the business?
Sure. A lot of domains that we did not have knowledge about. When you're building a consulting company, it's a different ballgame compared to when you're building a product company, especially in the technology domain. I could code. Like I said, I was an innovator and I was architecting the way Nourish would work, but did not have a lot of experience in building products. So there was a lot of learning required in that domain. And to build a successful company, you have to attract talent in technology, content, design, UX, UI, customer service, sales. There are multiple divisions in the company. So to learn all of that, how do you do that at a rapid pace? How do you constantly evolve with the needs of your customers? Raise funds, you know, all of those were new learnings for us. We had not done all of that. So I think if I could sum up, the constant exposure to these new things that the product company required were a few of the challenges. But I think I also take it as a game, like the golfer who gets a tough challenge on a tough course on a rainy day. I think it's that kind of an excitement, because when you have to figure out, okay, what's the new module in my product that's going to make it create a blue ocean? Or what's the new hack that I could deploy to crack this new market or this new target audience? So it's like playing that golf game or, you know, playing tennis and you have a new challenge to crack.
Very interesting. And, you know, based on, you said you got 1.2 billion users and must have been thousands of people who are actually selling and creating their courses. Based on your experience, what are some of the common mistakes a lot of people make
when they are creating courses?
When they're creating and selling their courses,
Sure. Now, creating and selling courses is just like any other business. There is a structure to it. You have to put a certain kind of a order checklist in place that you could follow. The biggest mistake people do is that they don't build that checklist before they jump in. And that, I think, is the most important bit that you could do before you start any business. But let's talk about courses here. Things like, what is the niche that I'm going to teach in, you know, or sell my content in? Like, you could be a yoga trainer, but the market's saturated. So if you go out and say, you know, as a yoga trainer, I'm going to teach people yoga, that's too generic. You will not be able to attract on social media platforms, through the ad platforms, or even in your family groups, your offering above any other yoga trainer's offering.
Correct.
So the ability to niche out and say that, okay, you know what, I teach yoga to old people or pregnant mothers or, you know, athletes and improve their endurance. And now by picking that stand, you're certainly standing out, being able to be noticed and get people into that funnel. That's, I think, the most fundamental thing I believe everybody should be able to do. And then when you follow the checklist, there are multiple things. Are you writing the content in the right way? Is it hitting the nerves? Is it hitting the promise points for someone to be able to understand your offering and make a decision whether I want to be a part of this class, this content session, or whatever you're offering? Then going down to building those landing pages, using the right technology tools and automations so that the entire bit around delivery, management, everything works flawlessly and smoothly. Then going on and nurturing those leads. And I think the most important one after the niche is, according to me, constantly building new funnels.
Right.
By that, I mean your ability to tap into new traffic sources or places where your target audience, let's say if you're teaching athletes yoga, are you constantly getting in front of those athletes so that more and more people could sign up with you? And the ways, the methods, the channels for you to constantly go in front of them, discovery of those, exploration of those, and constantly putting out messages in those groups, those places, those websites, those social media networks, mm-hmm. I think forms almost 80% of the core of any good business. And it's very counterintuitive, because a lot of people would feel, no, if I'm a good yoga teacher, I can stand on my hands for 2 hours and nobody else can do that. But I get it, that your ability to be a great expert is paramount, important, but your ability to tell people that you are that good is what actually creates 80% of the core of that business.
Great response, Kinna. Thank you. But on the other hand, let's continue with your example of the yoga teacher. How easy or difficult is it for a yoga teacher who may not have any technical background to launch their course on Nourish?
I think it's a question that I would not want to keep it diplomatic or political in my answer, right? No, I'll be honest about it.
Yeah.
Starting a business and you offering your services as a yoga trainer is a business, right? As a solopreneur, as an expert, people call it self-employment. Mm-hmm. You've dabbled into something where you are consciously choosing to pick up complications. Mm-hmm. Let me explain what I mean by that. Like, if you join a gym as a yoga trainer, the only thing you need to do is turn up for the classes that the gym sends you messages for.
Yeah.
If they book the class, great. If they don't book the class, great. Mm-hmm. You get paid. And the only thing you have got to do is turn up, teach, come back. When you choose to be a solopreneur or an entrepreneur, you're choosing all of the pieces. So you need to build your funnels. You need to manage your funds. You need to learn how to sell. You need to learn how to make an impact, how to introduce yourself in new situations. There is so much that goes around in a business, in any type of a business, not just in today's time, historically. Luckily, we live in the best times for solopreneurs. You could have a multi-million dollar empire today because there are bots, there are technologies like Nourish that will help you build every single piece of your business without the need to employ many other people, without the need to constantly look for things, do manual jobs, do repeated tasks. None of that is required because technology has powered all of that. And with AI, I think the ball has just gone on to a different stadium altogether, right? You have such great abilities that you could focus on teaching, looking at funnels, and the rest is all done by technology. Nice. So to summarize my answer here, it's not easy for anyone to be an entrepreneur or a solopreneur compared to someone doing a job. Do you enjoy it? If you do, there is no other way, because you know you can't be just going to the gym and taking classes.
Right.
You need to be talking to people and do all of the stuff that I just mentioned about. So choose it if you really enjoy those. Technology will make it super simple for you, but the desire and the acceptance of the challenges and complications of this versus the gym job is what you've signed up for.
Well said. And how would Nourish support the many users to be able to support, you know, to sell and market their courses, and also maybe to create the funnel, as you said?
Yes. So like you very well kind of asked me how these people would find it easy or tough. Now, a funnel is always the person's responsibility, because the unique offering that they bring out in the market, like I said, teaching yoga to athletes, they know what is the selling point. They know where the customers hang out. As a platform, we let you build it all white labeled. So we will let you use our technology where you can just drag and drop a few things, quickly go and, you know, launch your funnels, and you're ready to just go live after you've spoken to the AI for a few moments and you've understood, you know, what to say. But all of it is in your hands. We as a platform only give you in your hands the technology to cover every single step. When you begin, you can go onto a Nourish platform and say, I am new and I'm trying to teach yoga to athletes. What should be the first thing that I do? The platform AI will guide you. Then it, you know, when it tells you do a webinar, maybe, you know, do a free session as a webinar, the platform will give you step-by-step process to just say, okay, what is the webinar is going to be about? And you can even get the AI to help you write that, right? But you've got to just take a decision and choose out of the four options that AI gives you. And then it tells you, okay, here is your live session. When do you want it to happen? But you have to just select the date. So our platform makes it super easy for anyone to get the knowledge that a seasoned entrepreneur teaching yoga, making a crore a year knows, and we give that in the hands of someone who's just starting with 5,000 rupees as his monthly income. Mm. We give the same kind of knowledge of funnels, knowledge of writing, knowledge of what technology to use. So let's say you're doing your live sessions. We are going to give you the Zoom Enterprise license that costs hundreds of dollars in less than $20 a month.
Mm.
But you know, you've then got to just take those steps and go live. So Nourish helps you and gives you every piece for you to be able to go live with all that.
How nice. Thank you. Next question is that, you know, the entire e-learning industry saw a huge boom during the pandemic. Since the pandemic, which is say 1.5 years, do you see any slowdown or changes?
It's a great question. I mean, so passionate about this. And I'll tell you, I'm sorry if I go a bit longish answer about this. So I was at a Google event yesterday for startups, and they had a data piece there where they said, according to Google, running Google ads, there were 15 million people in India in the last 9 months who bought online courses, right? Mm-hmm. It's a huge number. But let me tell you the number of people who actually bought, let's say, some digital good, or let's say somebody who bought, maybe ordered from Blinkit or something, you know, it's over 200 million.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the number differences, right? So 15 is a brilliant number, and it's going to go rapidly up. It's not slowed down from the last years. It's only going up. And I'll tell you the reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you look at old times, Benjamin Franklin's biography, if you read that by Walter Isaacson, he talks about Benjamin thinking that if I want to build this nation as a great nation, what are the key things that I could do today?
Mm.
It's a great question, right? And it's a perpetual question every leader, every builder of, you know, let's say systems, processes, or countries has got to ask themselves. Benjamin decided that he needs to build public library system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great thing. And I love that.
Mm.
So according to him, that he was laying the foundation of the great nation called United States, and public library system was supposed to be the foundational stone that he laid down. What did they have in public library system? Books. Because at that time, the best method of transferring what's in my brain as an expert to you is through a book.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, you become a better professional. You earn more. You are a productive member of the society. You can contribute and do so many different things. And that's how nations are built.
Mm.
This generation, as per all data sets, in fact, the last 20, 30 years, the consumption of videos as the primary pieces of knowledge has gone, in comparison to text, almost 1,800 times more effective.
Wow.
You know what that number means? And there are data sets available for all of this. In fact, if you look at some of the reports on YouTube, you could look at that. So if I want to learn how to train my dog, you know, and I did that when I was a kid. Like, I remember in 7th standard in a small city, I did not have a good dog trainer, could not find one. I said, I'll read a book, learn this and do this. There are fantastic online courses to make that happen now, which will be far more effective than that 2,000-year-old technology called paper. Because I can look at the video. I can hear the sounds that I can't from a book. I can look at the dog's expressions in a much, much better way than a book would ever teach me. So it's inevitable that everything that those library systems contained in themselves will all be converted into online courses. Things that those library systems did not even have, like how to design UX, UI for a platform, how to be better at archery, tennis, chess. Books cannot even dabble in the kind of learning that videos, audios, 3D diagrams, things like those can deliver. So all I can say, from a humanistic point of view, it's a superpower to be able to consume these courses, far more evolved than just reading a piece of paper. I love paper, and I think it comes with its own advantages, but it's inevitable that this happens. And I think if you look at it from this fundamental perspective, the consumption of online courses is an inevitable future. It's going to be a part of every education system, whether it's school, college, corporate, lifelong learning, jobs, wherever you talk about. And with 3D metaverse, it's only going to get better and better. Things that paper will never be able to teach you, right? Or physical environments will not be able to stand in front of. Like, imagine me standing in front of a few dinosaurs looking all around with a, you know, VR glass. It's just an experience that book can never, ever create. So the future that we are entering with, especially with AI and the computing power that devices are now carrying, it's just going to get better and better.
Well said. What a great response. Thank you. So can I have time for two more questions for you? My next question is that how does Nourish handle a lot of the user data? And what measures do you take to handle privacy and security?
Great question. I am very particularly focused on improving our data privacy, you know, for the users as well as for everything that we do here. And there are multiple reasons for that. We also work with enterprises now. A lot of enterprises have compliance requirements for cloud security. Like there is a hospital called Jahangir Hospital in Pune, which is one of the largest hospital groups in the city. They use our platform to do clinical training delivery, right? Clinical research-based training. And there are HIPAA compliances also where patient records and all of those needs to be maintained. And there are almost every other place there is a use case. So some of the steps that we have taken and we are constantly evolving on those is like we are in the process of getting our SOC 2 compliance. You know, some of these validated international data cloud privacy laws make sure that you look at every single piece, every single interaction point of a data, whether it's you're taking it from an academy student or the academy owner itself, is treated with careful consideration. There are silos, encryptions, processes, systems, documented methods built around them. There are clear ways to delete them, store them. You know, everything becomes super transparent. And in fact, we are using a very established platform called Sprinto, for an instance, for this SOC 2. Now, these platforms go on to get connected to every piece of technology that you use, like our cloud hosting on Microsoft Azure, AWS, and Google Cloud, as well as, let's say, if I use a CRM called HubSpot. So they are looking at policies, implementation of those, and leaking, you know, leakage points wherever there is a possibility of such a leakage happening, and constantly flagging those, plugging those holes. Like there cannot be a login into even a third party system without an SSO. So I can keep going on and on about it, but it's become a very important consideration, and I think rightly so. And it'll become like a boomerang effect. So every organization that takes a SOC 2 and starts looking at that, now every organization that such a company takes services from also has to comply to those, you know, policies and systems, because otherwise the chain will break, you know. So if I secure my data, but let's say Azure doesn't, I'm not saying they don't, they're brilliant. They have SOC 2 and all of those compliances, but it all needs to be taken care of. So, you know, those are some of the things we're doing, and you'll find us extremely paranoid about, you know, making sure that all of this happens.
Well said. And my last question to you, Kinnar, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey as an entrepreneur and a very successful entrepreneur, what would you say are three lessons you would want a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs to take away from our conversation?
No, thanks for asking that question. I think I'm still someone in the making. There's a long way for me to go. I think milestones are all comparative. But I think a few things that I have come to realize are superpowers while you're building your company. I could highlight those, and I'm sure some of those would be helpful. So number one is your ability to constantly learn. You need to have your eyes and ears open and have a network, whether it's through, you know, your investors, the organizations that you're a part of, like in India, TAI, SLP, there are many others where you're constantly looking at the things that you would need to learn to go to the next level of your journey, whether it's growth, technology, advent of technologies like AI. How could you constantly be on the forefront?
Correct.
I don't think that a founder's learning ability can be second to anyone. Correct. You have to be the chief learning officer in your company. And I'm very confident that there'll rarely be founders who will not testify to that. Even productivity, how do we spend more time doing things that are meaningful? You know, that those need to be constantly reevaluated, looked at. So I think constantly learning. Second, I think once you've figured that out, you'll realize your people skills, your ability to attract, hire, nurture, and have the right kind of people around in your organization as your employees, as your partners, as your investors is going to be a super important decision that you take. I think it has such long lasting, long stage, long term effects that you cannot compromise on that. So you'll have to constantly evolve on that front, and you have to build a objective metric system to look at all of these. So then my third part would come at things like processes and automations through OKRs, objectives and key responsibility frameworks. I think that becomes a superpower when you're a founder. Implementing things like GTD, getting things done framework within OKR. I think those three, learning your people skills and constantly building automations and systems with OKRs and getting things done framework would be top three that I can advise for now. It's a long list. It's an interesting journey. I think these three would possibly help.
Absolutely.
You
and on that note, Kinnar, and your three wonderful lessons, constantly learn, have a network, you said. Second is people are very critical, get the best. And third, you said, processes are critical in whatever you're building. And because my own experience as an entrepreneur has been that processes are where a lot of entrepreneurs do falter. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your own amazing journey. Thank you for speaking to me about so many different aspects of Nourish. I will go and check Nourish's platform myself, go and see what you are doing online on this, and see if I can, you know, get the brand called You associated with your platform. Thank you again for speaking to me, and good luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.